This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
A $300 million car battery.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Presidential candidate John McCain has a new idea for solving our energy problems. He wants the government to hold a contest for a better car battery. He says the winner should get $300 million, about a dollar from every person in the country. McCain will make a speech about this today. The battery would have to deliver power at 30% of current costs, making hybrid or electric cars much more efficient. Saudi Arabia says it's prepared to deliver more oil to the market, but no one seems to care. Yesterday, the Saudis held an emergency oil summit in the city of Jeddah and again vowed to produce more oil. But the price went up this morning, at least for a while. It's now at $134 a barrel. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Pretty soon, the Saudis will be pumping at their highest level for 30 years. But no other OPEC members in Jeddah followed the Saudi example. Rob Loughlin of MF Global says that's why the price of oil is higher this morning.
The reason we're up is obviously the failure of the meeting in Jeddah yesterday. Certainly the market's perception is that we failed because we haven't really got any substantial extra supplies of oil hitting the world market.
In fact, the Saudi increase is likely to be outweighed by the loss of production in Nigeria. Some major oil fields there remain shut following attacks last week by militants. Nigeria is now pumping crude at its lowest level for a quarter of a century. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
After a horrible week, the Dow is below 12,000 for the first time since March. And so far, just minor gains. The Dow is up 14 points to 11,857. The NASDAQ has gained 3. The S&P 500 is up just a couple points. In Asia today, the markets fell about 0.5%, but European shares are 0.5% higher. The FCC is taking a closer look at advertising in the age of TiVo, specifically product placements in TV shows. Steve Henn has more.
How many ads have you watched on TV today? Robert Weissman at Commercial Alert says chances are you have no idea.
It's impossible that anyone knows.
Shows like Extreme Makeover Home Edition include hundreds, even thousands each year. Weissman wants the FCC to require clearer disclosure. Picture something like a tornado warning scrolling across your screen when the characters head to a fast food joint.
These guys, they've been working all day. They have to be really hungry.
You're probably right. So I had an idea.
But Dan Jaffe at the Association of National Advertisers hates this idea. He says the FCC can already require disclosures at the beginning or end of a show, but
they need to use their authority. If there are problems in this area, it's a problem of enforcement.
Product placement is already a nearly $3 billion revenue stream for broadcasters, and it's growing at more than 30% a year. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
One man who gave the FCC fits was George Carlin, with his famous seven words. Carlin, you may have heard, died last night. He was the epitome of irreverence and had a thing or two to say about consumerism.
That's all your house is? It's a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Now, sometimes you've got to move. You got to get a bigger house. Why? Too much stuff. You've got to move all your stuff and maybe put some of your stuff in storage. Imagine that. There's a whole industry based on keeping an eye on your stuff.
George Carlin was 71. You're listening to The Morning Report for Monday, June 23rd on Marketplace.org. This week, Congress will try to show voters it's doing something about the price of oil. The House has a bill designed to encourage more domestic production of oil, and it'll discourage speculation. John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
Republicans say voters now support letting oil companies drill in more places, especially offshore. But Democrats like Massachusetts Representative Ed Markey say companies should first explore their existing leases.
Oil and gas companies could start producing right now on 68 million acres that they already own. But it seems that big oil is more interested in pumping up prices.
Markey's bill would charge for unused leases, but Deutsche Bank energy economist Adam Siminski says companies have decided those lands aren't worth exploring.
Telling the oil industry that they've already got acres just makes absolutely no sense when the acres that they have are not the ones that we need for the fuels that are going to help us get out of the jam we're in.
Democrats will also try to beef up regulations on oil futures trading to discourage speculation and spend more money for public transportation. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
You might think the U.S. is king when it comes to internet access, but consumer groups say this country lags behind others in terms of broadband service. The FCC will look into this at a hearing today. Janet Babin has more from our Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
Exactly what is broadband internet access? Analyst Craig Moffett at Bernstein Research says it depends on who you ask and what country they're in.
There are no international standards defining what broadband is. In the U.S., broadband, believe it or not, is still described as any service that's over 200 kilobits per second.
Yeah, that's really slow. Forget kilobits. You have to be in megabit territory just to stream video online. Moffett says the U.S. needs to redefine what's considered broadband. And then, if we want everyone to have it, we're going to have to subsidize it.
Everybody would love to see broad availability of broadband connections, but nobody wants to really grapple with the hard question, which is how much are taxpayers willing to pay for it?
Countries with widespread broadband access, like Korea and Japan, have already figured that out. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The country's mayors are in Miami for their annual meeting. Today, the mayor's conference is expected to pass a resolution on foreclosures. They want more federal money to help out their cities, and they want that help to go beyond low-income families. Jill Barchet reports.
Foreclosures are strangling some cities. They're choking off property tax revenues just when city services are needed the most. Frank Ortiz is mayor of Pembroke Pines, a city near Miami. He says people getting kicked out of their homes are adding to urban blight.
Some even poured concrete down toward us, put holes in walls. And then you have the overgrowing of the grass, and you have pools that, in Florida especially, turn green and become mosquito-infested. Those are all problems for us as mayors to deal with.
Everyone expects more foreclosures to come. Mayors want federal funds to keep homeowners in their houses. But big city mayors are worried federal aid could be restricted to low-income households. Expensive cities like New York and Boston argue they need help, too. I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
I don't know if you caught this study that came out last week from Associated Press. It said the CEOs of S&P 500 companies had a median pay of $8.4 million last year. That was a 3.5% gain from 2006.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Ellen, I thought with all the losses on Wall Street, so many layoffs, we were going to see some changes in executive pay. Where is it?
You know, there's a principle that says if a small number of people care about something an awful lot, they will have more influence than a lot of people who care about it only a little. And if there is anything in the world that chief executive officers of U.S. corporations care about, it's their compensation packages, and they care a lot. And no matter what the formula is or often what the shareholders do, the CEOs influence the process enough, either directly or indirectly, that they all make out.
Are you hearing about any movement within companies by shareholders to put more pressure on executive compensation?
There is, in fact, something called say on pay, which is really interesting, which proposes to give shareholders' say on the compensation of the top executives. And the name Say on Pay is very catchy, but it's been adopted in only one or two places, one of which is Aflac. I just sort of wonder in the end how much good it'll do, but what can it hurt?
We had talked before about the newest round of shareholder meetings and how we were expecting shareholders to come in there with fire in their bellies and demand things like accountability. Have we seen any of that?
Well, we've seen some accountability at a bunch of these financial companies that have really run into trouble. The chief executive has been offered up as a human sacrifice. However, the CEOs of these big financial companies that have been broomed, no one said to them, you know, maybe you should give back some of the money we awarded you when we thought we were making a ton of money, and it turns out we really didn't because we had to take all these write-downs and all these profits were illusory. You know, nobody does that. I mean, there's accountability in the sense that these people lose their jobs, but there's not accountability in the sense that they're pursued for the money they probably shouldn't have gotten. And barring, you know, a complete miracle, I don't think that will ever happen because shame used to be a powerful motivator, and I guess it isn't anymore. If you have enough money, you can afford to be ashamed.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Many drivers multitask, making calls and texting on their phones. Highway patrolmen have seen it all.
Everything from people eating, applying makeup, shaving, even having sex in the car while driving.
I'm Bob Moon. California drivers go hands-free. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.